Pull out of the shadows and find that eventually. There we are, all in what we are is still family. This morning's family segment is motivated by the issues raised by the arrest of those 10 American Baptist church members and the 33 children they tried to take out of the earthquake-devastated nation of Haiti. In the world of international adoptions, the issues vary from nation to nation. Diplomats may be involved as much as social workers. Relations between the country of origin and the adoptive home may be as important as the family-to-family issues. And as parents learn, there is also a wide variance in the degree of candor about the circumstances of the adoptive children from country to country. David Smolin and his wife learned some of these lessons firsthand. David is a professor of law and a self-described inter-country adoption reformer. Good morning from Alabama, David.
Yes, morning.
Well, first of all, how, you know, what are the unique perils and difficulties associated with country-to-country adoptions that you wouldn't find in a purely domestic, adoption?
Well, I'd say it's that most inter-country adoption agencies in the U.S. don't really know that much about what goes on in the other country and don't take responsibility legally, ethically, for how the child is obtained and whether the child is a true orphan. There's a tendency to outsource all of the important work to a foreign orphanage or just someone who comes to them or that they recruit and they pay to find children.
Right. Now, you know, many people in America who know anything at all about international adoptions may get their impression from listening to celebrities talk about their experience. Here's Brad Pitt.
You know, I look at my sons and my daughters, and one's from Vietnam and one's from Cambodia and one's from Ethiopia, and there's this kid who was born in Namibia. Each one of them offers so much to the mix.
We can only hope that Brad knows the actual names of the children in his own home. But, I mean, this celebrity idea that you can sort of pick and make a kind of, United Nations General Assembly around your breakfast table is really a misnomer and has nothing to do with what parents like yourselves went through.
Well, the problem is that there aren't as many orphans as people think there are. There are a lot of poor families who are willing to place children into some kind of place so they can get an education and that they can get room and board. But a lot of times those families do not intend to actually give up their children. But somewhere in this mix, children who are not true orphans end up getting placed into families here, and that's quite a tragedy.
What happened to you in 1998 when you adopted two girls from India? And congratulations for that, by the way.
Well, what happened is that we went through a very well-accredited, very reputable agency here, and yet despite that, and despite trying to adopt older children for whom there's more of a need, we ended up tragically taking children away from a family who had a family. Their mom had been tricked into placing them somewhere just for room and board and for an education, when in fact the Indian orphanage intended to profit from placing them overseas.
Wow. So David Smolin, this idea of trafficking, which was raised by the Haitian church members, or the American church members who are trying to get kids out of Haiti, is actually something that people might encounter without knowing it.
Exactly. We've had trafficking scandals in China now, Guatemala, Nepal, India, Cambodia, Vietnam, Samoa. So it's become quite a common thing. And also we've had it in the past in Haiti as well.
So David, what did you do when you discovered that there was a family back in India of your two daughters?
Well, we had to do it on our own because even though we used a very reputable agency, they wouldn't help us figure it out. So we had older children, and they were coached to lie to us, tragically.
Oh.
And when the story emerged through their own friend who'd been adopted into a different family here, they were pretty sure something was wrong, but they really didn't know, tragically, whether their mother had sold them or been tricked. And that just absolutely tortured them. The agency took the position that they did not need to know and that we did not need to know. So it took about 6 years to find somebody in India willing to go and try to find the rural village where our daughters said they were from. This had to be done gently because we were told that if she had given them up voluntarily, the mom that is, that she could be harmed if someone went looking for her. So we had to find an appropriate person to do it, and because our agency, which is now a Hague-accredited agency, would not help us, we had to find our own way, which took a long time.
Well, and your daughters are in contact now with their birth parents, and through your own efforts, not certainly the institutions, you created a happy ending out of this, which should also be a cautionary tale for anyone else trying to do country-to-country adoptions. David Smolin, thanks so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you, too.
David Smolin is a law professor and an intercountry adoption reformer who has two daughters adopted from India, who it turned out were part of a trafficking effort that he attempted to rectify on his own.
So we're asking you today, what did you take away from last night's Super Bowl?
This is Patrick Henry Bass, and my takeaway from the Super Bowl was a great game, lame commercials with the exception of Hockenberry's very favorite comedian, Jay Leno, with Oprah and David Letterman.
That was friend of the show, Patrick Henry Bass. What was your take? Was it the rise of the Saints, or was it the commercials themselves? Let us know at 8778-MY-TAKE, or send us an email to mytake at thetakeaway.org. If you missed anything, we're always on here at The Takeaway. Take our podcast at thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.